Holy shit. Should I have faded that out? Was that scary? You guys, it's Wendy. Hey, good morning. And I'm saying good morning because it's... I probably should have faded that out. You know what? Whatever. The restaurants are closed in New York City. So sorry there wasn't a better fade out. I don't know how much of that song I can play legally. Good morning. It is Tuesday. It is 8:51 a.m. here in New York City. I'm recording this intro because obviously this is the, if you're listening to this, this came up in your Pussy Fart Gang feed. This is a very special episode of my solo podcast, I Love You, Please Stop, and because that's through a network. Everything's crazy at the studio. I recorded an episode yesterday here alone in an apartment. It could be a lot of nonsense. I actually think it might be helpful. And there's just a lot of miscommunication going on with the studio. And so that we're not sure when that episode is going to be released. And it's got a lot of pertinent information that I think is going to help your sanity. So I'm doing an emergency broadcast of another podcast, which is, I know what everybody needs right now is another podcast. So I've been up for about 17 minutes. Anyway, I'm going to play this episode. Please go over to the, I'll put all the links in whatever, subscribe to the, I mean, you guys, it's probably going to be fine, but also, am I really going to be like shitty? Make sure you're clicking on the right Instagram podcast page. I'm going to have some coffee. I probably should have had coffee first. Anyway, love you guys. Take care of yourselves. And please enjoy this episode. And there's no intro, outro song. Nothing professional about this. Because we all live in the streets now. We're a band of rogue soldiers roaming the streets looking for shelter, money, food, and toilet paper. Good luck to you all. And I'll see you in a chat room, I'm sure, this week. All right, I'll talk to you soon. Message me if you need anything. Love you. Bye. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of I Love You, Please Stop. I'm your hostess with the mostest amount of schizophrenia just bursting to come out of every part of my body. This quarantine shit is wild. I'm recording this Monday. What is it? March 16th. It feels like March 13th was 3 months ago. I'm recording from an apartment in New York City. I'm not in the studio because the whole city's on lockdown. And I gotta tell you, if there ever was a time to practice self-discipline and a healthy balance of introspection and also not becoming so self-obsessed that you have a full-blown psychotic break. That's what I'm concerned about for myself, not even really myself, but most people. So if you're listening to this and you are in a city that is practicing social distancing, which I think is, first of all, amazing, it really is, it's nice that people are finally, we don't have the kiss hello. That, first of all, can we just get rid of that in general? And I know it's European and I know it's chic, but that's one of the first things. I'm so glad that's gone because it always makes me nervous. I never do a good job because the kiss on the cheek, in LA, people hug. I grew up in LA. In New York, people do the cheek kiss thing, which I get, again, it's very like chic metropolitan. I don't like it because I never know, like, do I do just like a little peck? Do I make lip to cheek contact? And then when I do make contact, because I like to give like a nice full kiss. So I always feel like I'm either just air kissing the side, which makes me seem like, oh, look at this asshole, doesn't have a passport. You know, someone's never been to France. Or I commit too fully to the kiss and then I'm just like, you know, like softly, like making out with a stranger's face. And that is almost creepier than just full mouth kissing a stranger, I think, to just gently kiss the side of someone's face. I should say, I don't know if you heard that. I'm going to try not to be distracted by the sounds coming from the street. There are horns honking. Again, not in the studio, in an apartment recording this. Hopefully the sound is okay. I'm doing it into GarageBand. But yeah, so that's the one good thing, is we don't have that obnoxious side face kissing. So I do like that. Everything else pretty much, though, sucks. It is a strange, it happened so quickly. It really did. And again, I don't know where you guys are. I know LA and New York are locked the fuck down. And it was so quick. Here, shows are getting canceled. All my shows for the next, I would get 6 to 8 weeks now, are being canceled. The launch party for the show was canceled. So if you bought tickets, we refunded you and thank you. And we are going to do that at a later time. But right now we got to focus on safety, I guess. And I mean, finding out a new way to survive and a new way to live. I will say, I know a lot of people are freaking out. I've been looking on social media and I've been trying to think of different ways, like, what can I do to help? And I know that's most people, obviously, and I'm not talking about the general, like, stay the fuck inside, wash your hands, okay? That's all very basic information. We know to do that. I will say there's something crazy happening where it's almost like being politicized, where I hear people on the street when I'm inside of my apartment. I'll hear people on the street leaving a club down the block screaming like, fuck coronavirus, fuck this virus. And it's like, no, that's not what this is not. And I know people are saying this a lot and I'm going to say it again. I just want to make sure everyone hears this loud and clear. This is not like 9/11 when it was like, if we don't go to a bar, the terrorists win. This is not a fear thing. This is not like, oh, if you stay inside, you're being paranoid. This is an actual illness floating around. And most people, a lot of people could have it and not know. You could be a carrier and not know. It truly is. It's like HPV. Most people probably have it and they don't even know. And that's the thing. There's not a lot of testing going around. And so it really is, I do like the mentality of people just kind of boldly walking around, openly coughing, getting a little too close at the grocery store. It's like, I assume those people fucking have it. Cause it's the same thing as like when you meet someone on a first date, and or you'd meet them at a bar. It doesn't have to be a date. Like, you know, when you go on a first date, we all know what I'm about to say. When you just meet someone and you're out and you just get drunk and you're like, let's go back and fuck. And there are condoms kind of out for show, for display, but they're like, oh, you seem clean, and you fuck without a condom right away. If anyone is open out of the gate to just fucking raw dog someone they just met, or even someone that maybe you chatted with on a dating app for a few weeks, who knows? But if someone out of the gate is like, let's just fuck raw, that's because they probably have something, okay? Because if you don't have anything, you want to protect that. And so you're like, why don't we use a condom? And the reason that you don't have an STD is probably because you practice safe sex. And that's coming from someone that is very happy to just like, let's not fucking use condoms. And here's the thing, ignorance is bliss. And that's why everyone's got HPV. You know what I mean? I've got it, and I know it's supposed to, like, it cycles out, and I went and I got tested, and I had it, and then I went back, and then it was gone. So it's something that, like, cycles in and out. Who fucking knows? You know, at this point, whatever. I mean, you're going to die of HPV or coronavirus, something, right? It's either, and if, honestly, if you're going to die of some crazy communicable disease, have a little fun while you're at it, you know? I'd rather be like, I got this thing from, having amazing sex all night, you know, rather than like, oh, I caught this virus from what? Touching a rail or breathing, just breathing in a crowded room. Oh, if you're going to pick the fun one, you know what I mean? At least have an orgasm if you're going to catch a virus. That's what I say. If you're going to catch a virus, I hope you come. It is bananas, though, that people are walking around kind of acting like they're fearless. It's like, well, this is not really a fear-based thing. So that's out of the way. Stay inside, wash your hands. We know that. Okay, great. That's covered. Now, on to the real challenge, because that's kind of the easy part. And I think people thought, and I'm in this camp, that this was going to last maybe like a week or two. Because that's kind of what people are like, we're going to shut down for a couple weeks, not a big deal. Well, the problem is, in, I know across America, but specifically in New York, testing is not available. I looked up a couple days ago. I was like, maybe I should go get just to see if I have, I just want to know if I fucking have it, because you can have it and not have any symptoms. Again, I have a very strong immune system, and by strong immune system, it's a combination of, I take a lot of supplements and immune boosters. Also, I believe, and now France put out a big, I don't know if you guys follow France on Twitter, but they had to put out a big announcement. There's a trash truck. I mean, really, isn't it fun? It's like you're in the apartment with me. It's like we're together. We're not quarantined. We're together listening to a trash truck. France, again, back to France, they put out a thing on Twitter, a big announcement to the country that said, hey, heads up, cocaine does not prevent coronavirus. So people are, again, still confused. If there's any confusion, cocaine is, again, not good for you. This is not a health supplement. That being said, I believe part of the reason my immune system is so strong is a combination of good health, taking supplements, apple cider vinegar every morning. It's a combination of that and having put so many toxins into my body that I don't believe anything can survive within my personal ecosystem. Does that make sense? Like, it's a joke I say on stage, and it's a joke slash like 100% true fact. I've never had a pregnancy scare, which is shocking. Shocking. Never been pregnant. Pregnant. It's quarantine. I'm not editing that out. I'm stressed. I don't have Marshall here. I'm not even looking in a mirror at myself, which is what I should be doing, because that would help me focus a little bit. I'm staring at a blank wall. You guys, this is rough stuff, okay? And here's how I know it's difficult for most people, because I fucking love this shit. I'm in my element right now. What, I'm supposed to sit in my house and talk to myself all day? That's what I've been doing since I came out of my mom's vagina. I used to set up dolls and just have full conversations, put on shows, and my parents would be like, this is when I was like 3 or 4, my parents, they would just hear me running my mouth, and they would open my bedroom door, and I would stop and get nervous and look, and I would have all my stuffed animals and Barbies lined up, and I would just be like talking at them. So this is my element. And even I'm tripping on words and getting anxious, and you're starting to feel this kind of like tension in your body of like, oh, I'm going crazy, okay? So we're going to get to letting the crazy take over in a minute, but I am going to go back to why. It's drugs and alcohol are not good to do long term or to do in large quantities. Okay, it's like anything. You don't want to exercise too much. Okay, you start exercising too much and eating too healthy, then you feel too good about yourself, and then you don't get to do any of the fun stuff. Okay, if you're too healthy, then you get a little cocky, right? I went to the gym a few times. I haven't gone this week, but you see people there at Equinox. And the one trainer, and I got to tell you, this is what, when I broke sobriety after a year, and I say that it wasn't dramatic. I didn't go on some crazy bender. I had like 2 glasses of wine. This is the catalyst for that. I was at the gym, and this guy who's a trainer there, I forget his name. He, very good looking guy. And we were talking, and first of all, if trainers are talking to you, I used to be a trainer. They're just trying to sell you shit. Okay. So I know he's over there. He would see me every day, and he's like, so like, what are your goals? What are your fitness goals? And I was like, I used to be a trainer. I'm not buying training sessions. And he was like, he would also come over and neg me and just say things like, cause I would run on the treadmill, and he was like, yeah, you're in here all the time. I see running, you know, like, it's actually not good for your knees. I was reading this article that like running is almost as bad for you as smoking. And that's when I kind of checked out of every conversation with him. But this is what really annoyed me. He's very into fitness. I get it. It's good. Good. And then we were talking, and he said, yeah, my nutrition's good. I said, I quit drinking like a year ago. And he said, yeah, I don't drink either. I quit too. He's like, you know, it's like I tell my clients, you know, my body, I take care of my body. I try to be healthy. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm with you. It's like when I tell my clients, like, I wouldn't put sand in the gas tank of a Ferrari, you know? And that's when I stopped and I thought, I don't know, I don't want to be part of this club. I don't know that I think of myself as a Ferrari, you know? It's a drivable vehicle, but I'm not walking around like, you know? I like to think of my pussy as a Maserati, You know, I'm more of like a Honda or a Camry, you know, where I'm probably going to last forever and you can just ride me into the fucking ground. But I'm not, you know, so fancy. I'm not above, you know, like you can smoke a cigarette in there. I don't give a shit. Just roll down the window, you know. And again, I'll probably go for a long time. It'll have a low resale value as years go by because, again, they're going to be crumbs in the seats and cigarette burns, you know, loose change flying around. And now there's a siren. You guys, this is the apocalypse. You probably can't hear that. And then I sound schizophrenic because I'm commenting on sounds that you can't hear. But imagine it in your mind. This is going to come out Tuesday, the 17th, I hope. And at this point, you may have been quarantined for more than 72 hours, at which point you're hearing shit anyway. So let me tell you what to hear. You hear sirens now, very loud sirens. So anyway, I was like, if you're too healthy, then you get too cocky. And those are the people, like I went to the gym and I walked in and I just wanted to do some cardio, got on the elliptical, didn't touch anything with my hands. I mean, I was like punching it with my knuckles, which again is the fucking same thing, I guess. And it's all recirculated air. So it's just like being on a cruise ship. I fucking don't know. You know, I mean, I just got to get out of the gym. But I did go a few times before things got very serious and they started shutting down restaurants and shit in New York. And the people that are super healthy are very cocky. They're just walking around, just gripping handle, not wiping shit down, just picking up weights. And it's like, they have the attitude of like, well, I'm fucking healthy, bro. I don't drink. I just wake up and take like B12 and just nothing can get me. And then you're too cocky and that's when you get sick. All right. So I think this should be a good balance of supplements, take some echinacea, do a little blow. You know what I mean? Have some wheatgrass. Have some tequila. There should be a good balance, okay? And it's like, I've never been pregnant, and it's a joke, but also I've come to the conclusion, I'm like, I might be barren just because of the amount of garbage I've put in my body. And so if I did get pregnant, you know, it was past tense because now we can't do anything anymore because we're all in personal quarantine jail. He's like, can I come inside you? And I'm like, yeah, I fucking don't give a shit. Go for it. And honestly, it's like, what if you get pregnant? I mean, first of all, I probably won't. And also if I did, I would keep it, you know, and not in a way to like trap anybody and be like, you better give me your money. If I got pregnant, I would keep it just out of curiosity, out of sheer curiosity. I'd just be like, I got to see what the fuck comes out. You know, anything that can survive in me for 9 months is mwah. It's going to make me rich, and not because I exclusively bang dudes that can afford to cover paying for a baby and its mother. But because it would either come out, the amount of garbage I've put in my body, it would either come out as like a super handicapped kind of like one-eyed, like a Toxic Avenger, like a combination of like Helen Keller and Toxic Avenger, like something like that would crawl out. Or it would just straight up have superpowers. It would be an X-Man. You know what I mean? It's going to either like crawl out like out of a tub of ooze, or it's going to have wings and just fly out of my pussy. So either way, I'm getting at a show on, I would say TLC, but TV might be defunct. So it'll be a YouTube star for sure. For sure. America's Got Talent. How about my uterus has talent? Okay. Flapping out of it. My uterus is flapping and oozing with talent. That being said, that's probably why a virus could not also live within. Even HPV, I had it, and then I went like 6 months ago, and they were like, yeah, it's gone. It died. I was like, yeah, fucking, I dare something to live inside my body. I might not be alive now. Do you know? Honestly, I might be just a fully embalmed corpse walking around that just, you know, has just a teensy bit of consciousness, just enough to run my mouth off. So who knows? But anyway, as soon as testing is available, I think we should all go get it. I don't know why we're not. I have an idea for a tweet that I haven't put. Here's the thing with being trapped. You will have a lot of ideas. And now welcome to my personal hell and the personal hell of a lot of people who work from home that are artists, and I am doing big air quotes that you cannot see because I hate referring to myself as an artist because it sounds very, very douchey. You'll have ideas and you have a lot of free time. Now, here's a benefit of going into a day job every day, and it sucks. And I know working from home, isn't that the dream, right? That's what we all want. We're like, man, if I could just fucking work from home, that would be the dream. Well, guess what? It's a nightmare because the benefit of a day job, a place to be. And I understand the argument of like, see, the people are going to see that we don't need to be going in offices. It's crazy. We can all work from home. It's you're keeping yourself on a schedule. Okay. You wake up, you have to be somewhere at a certain time. It makes you accountable, even in tiny ways of like, just get from, you need to be at this location by this time. So while that seems like a real buzzkill and a real bummer, it does serve a purpose because it gives you a sense of purpose. Even, and it doesn't, it's because not always, your sense of purpose is not always like, I'm saving children in Africa, you know? And some people, they find that calling. Richard Branson, when I moved into my apartment, I will say there were two books in there. One is some book on statistics, which I will probably read because I got nothing else to fucking do. And the other is called Like a Virgin, and it's by Richard Branson. And I have read that. He's someone that, he just, you know, at a young age knew what he wanted to do and went out on his own and did all this cool shit. Great. Good for him. A lot of us don't have that, which is okay because then, you know, there would be too many airlines and we'd all be fucked because, you know, that the airlines are fucked right now. So we'd all be poor if we were all Richard Branson. Okay. Probably not. But I mean, I'm trying to like look on the bright side because as soon as I start talking about him, I'm like, yeah, why didn't I fucking do something else with my life? And I don't want to bum you guys out because we're already trapped in our homes and in our heads. But the point of this is like, so having a day job, it really does, it gives you a purpose, even if that purpose is like, I need to clock in and be at this building at 9 o'clock in the morning, or I've got to be at my restaurant at 5 o'clock, whatever it is. So when you have that, even though it's annoying, there is, whether or not you realize it, every time you do those things, you get to work on time. You finish, you work a whole day through, you get things. That is an accomplishment, and your brain responds by giving you a little bit of a dopamine dump, which is why, and the conversely, when you are late to work, some people don't fucking give a shit. And I get that. Most people, if you're running late or you call out or you cancel plans with a friend, most people, before they are going to cancel or flake or be late to an appointment of any kind, they have a lot of anxiety about it because they're like, oh, I'm failing. So, right? So, but when you don't cancel and you make those things and you make your appointments, you get a little bit of a dopamine dump, okay? And dopamine makes you feel, let's say it together, good, okay? That's, again, not to keep talking about drugs, that's what cocaine is. It is a little dopamine release in your brain, okay? So every time you go to work, it's like you're getting a little bit of free cocaine in your brain. So think of it that way, okay? Now, when you are working from home and you don't have that kind of a schedule, it is very easy to fall into this trap of doing nothing all day. And you know what? And there are no consequences. And that's the thing. There are no consequences, especially right now. Now, there are some people, and I'm lucky enough that I was able to start working from home about a year and a half ago, okay? And so thank you to everyone on the Patreon, on Pussy Fart Gang, and thank you to people that listen to this show and that come out to live comedy shows and have supported those. It's great because that has made it possible for me to work from home. Here are some pitfalls, and I'm going to help you out with some of these things, okay? Because, again, I'm a little bit built for this apocalyptic shit. I don't know. I'm someone, and as you've heard on other episodes, I will be doing an ad read. And if I fuck up a word, I lose my mind so intensely. I have a full on spiral. And truly, in that moment, truly, I feel like the only responsible thing I can do for myself and society at large is to commit suicide right there in studio on mic. Mispronouncing a word, I'm like, fucking, I can't do anything right. Fuck this, fuck, the world's over and I'm done. Now, a global pandemic, I become very calm. I don't know what it is. I become very calm in clutch situations. Maybe it's because that's why I like living in New York, because everyone here is on a low, having like a low grade panic attack all the time. So I feel less crazy. And now when the world's falling apart, again, some people lose their shit pretty hard. I get very relaxed because it's like, oh, okay. So, and not that everything's meaningless in a sense of like, we should all just kill ourselves. But nothing is really so important that I need to stress out to the point that I'm having suicidal ideations, because we're going to die at some point anyway. Why rush it? And there are fun things in life, and try to enjoy those and indulge in those. Okay. So that's how my brain works. So I'm operating from there, just so you understand that I have not gone fully off the rails. Or maybe I did, but it's not from this. If I went fully off the rails, it was years and years ago. It was many, many moons ago, possibly many lifetimes ago. I don't know. And I'm just being reincarnated in this fucking simulation. And each time I just get a little bit more off my rocker and a little bit more off. But the benefit of that is that I'm clutch in a pandemic. So let's talk about, what are we doing to keep ourselves from going crazy? Okay, here's the plan. First of all, do give yourself a little bit of a break. I will say that, because when you're working nonstop and you're busting your ass, and you know, a lot of people have to have two jobs just because shit's so expensive everywhere, and you have this crazy schedule. It's not, we have a big sick day. It's like a global sick day, right? And that can be fun for, I would say, max a week. It's like a vacation, right? You go on vacation or you have a couple days off and you're like, we're drinking as soon as we wake up. Okay, if you're sober, if you're sober, you might be having these thoughts now. So just like get yourself a little bit under control, because it does feel like a fun thing. Like, oh, I can just like start drinking in the morning. It's my day off. Or like I'm on vacation. Okay. If you do that, but just be aware and maybe give yourself like a 3-day period to just like lay around, eat junk food snacks. If you want to have a couple drinks in the morning, if it's not a fucking problem for you, you know what I mean? Not that it's good for anyone to wake up and have a beer, but you know what I mean. And especially it is worrisome for people in sobriety, because part of that is you're going to a meeting every day. Well, you can't do that shit. So I'm sure there are online services. So if you're struggling with that, find online, group support, and you can get on Whereby, which is a group chat service. That's phenomenal. And I'm using, it's a conference service, and I'm setting up, I'm going to be doing a little kind of daily chat groups on Whereby, and I'll post that information. So you guys, and my chat room name is Wendy Starling, just the spelling of my name. So I'm going to be posting those, and we can set up times just to get on and group, and we can all look at each other and have conversations and have like little dinner parties or coffee dates. So I think that's going to be good. If you are in a recovery program, first of all, you should not be listening to the show. Just kidding. Please keep listening. I love you. Thank you. But also, in seriousness, try and find a support group where you're doing FaceTime online. And because stay sober, this is not the time to have a fucking relapse. Mostly because the bars are closed. If you're going to have a relapse, wait until you can go do it in style on a rooftop somewhere with a ring light and a fucking photographer. Don't relapse in your apartment by yourself. Because a relapse already sucks, but like, let's be honest, you know what I mean? If you're going to go out with a fucking bang. And again, a good photographer. So that being said, if you're not in recovery, it is nice to be like, give yourself a break and chill out and kind of relax for a few days. Now, that can then roll into depression. Here's the thing. Working from home, being quarantined, and I just see people making fun. Everyone's like, oh, I'm going to get on TikTok and I'm going to do characters into my phone. And that, if we're being honest, that whole culture even this culture of it, talking to yourself into a microphone and putting it out and making little videos and taking selfies and all the social media, that's a little bit schizophrenic to begin with, okay? That's something that's kind of bothered me about the social media thing in general is I really feel like they're appropriating my people, which are the mentally ill, and I find it to be offensive, which is honestly part of why I don't post a lot of that shit. I know people with the videos and you know, my mom was always, she's like, I'm surprised you're not posting more videos because that's very, like, that's all you did when you were a kid. And I said, well, I know, but I've had to train myself to not do that shit and not talk to myself in the mirror constantly because it's not mentally healthy. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not mentally healthy. So, I really have to watch myself, and I tried not to be on social media a lot for that specific reason because I know what my triggers are to flipping that switch and going the bad way. And it's the same with staying inside. If you're inside a lot, that can lead to agoraphobia, paranoia. The longer you stay inside, at first it becomes you're like, oh, I want to leave. And then it starts to kind of flip. And then that becomes comfortable to you. And it's the chicken egg thing, right? So if you are depressed or having schizophrenic tendencies where you're paranoid or the bipolar depression and mania, and you have those behaviors and those brain patterns naturally in a non-quarantine society, when you have all of those mental health issues going on, you behave in a way that mimics what the governments, plural, I'm talking global governments. Yeah, the governments. Actually, that works because gloves protect your hands. Yeah, the governments, the global cover your hand governments, the glubberments. I got the B in there that time. What they're asking us to do, okay? So when you are depressed and you have that, you stay indoors. You sleep a lot or not very much at all. You're kind of looking at your window a lot. You're talking to yourself. You're pacing around. You're either binge eating or not eating at all. You're not really exercising. You're just kind of pent up with all this anxiety. And when you're eating a lot or even eating a normal amount, food is energy, okay? So food is energy that you put in your body. And when you do not release it from your body, it sits there and is pent up. That's the phrase nervous energy, okay? That's why a lot of people, and nervous energy, another term for that that you'll probably be more familiar with is anxiety, where you feel that shaking and you're like, I gotta fucking, and you feel like you're gonna scream. That's like dogs. If any animal, if they just are sedentary, they have behavioral problems and they're wild, and it's like, fuck, take the dog out for a walk. With Sebastian, I have to make him play with his toy. When he gets wild and starts attacking things, I get his toy and running him around until he's tired. And that's my heater. I don't want you to think that that's a weird, there are a lot of sounds. Sorry, Marshall. Hey, you guys, what can we do? It's a pan. That does sound like some kind of a weird, like, crew coming in, you know, just like fully and gas masks coming in to take me away. But that's not what it is. It's a heater because it's cold outside and I had to close my windows because I don't want the SARS to get in. Or whatever the fuck is floating around in the air. I am actually going to try to stop that and come back. I don't know what the fuck that was. It was a heater. Who knows? Anyway, not the point. The point is this. You guys heard that, right? Okay. I was not imagining that. So the point is that you act this way when you get depressed, okay? Where you lock yourself in and you're not leaving and the anxiety, and then the anxiety of that nervous energy because you're not exercising, you're not doing activity, which I'm going to get to. Exercise is very important and not to, I mean, look, we're going to get back to like doing funny shit and I'm going to have guests FaceTime and we're figuring all that out. But right now that's like, it's a little bit serious. Serious? I can't even say serious, seriously. So like the exercise thing is super important. Also, not getting laid. So this is, you got to take breaks to exercise and masturbate. That's how I like to break up my day. And we can't go to the gym. So this is actually, this is the part that's tricky for me, which is why I'm going to be running now. You used to be a trainer. So this is not bullshit. And first of all, it sucks and you're going to feel dumb in your house and you're probably not going to watch workout videos. Keep your eyes peeled. I am going to start doing little workout groups. If that's something that you guys would be into, please let me know. Message me a time that's good for you guys. Obviously, it'll be something that you can watch a tape of later, but I would like to do like live group activities just so we feel like we're doing something together as a team. So if you're into that, let me know what your what's best like scheduling for you, and we'll try to get that worked out because that is helpful because then... So you're not expending energy. So you have energy in you, which then is anxiety. And so you're just walking around having a fucking low-grade panic attack, but you're in your house, so you can't go anywhere. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll eat something. And so it's this like, it's really a vicious cycle. Fat Bastard said it best. And I'm sure you're familiar with Fat Bastard from Austin Powers films because all you've been doing is watching TV. So if you've gone through all of Netflix, you've seen that movie at least twice in the last 3 days. So that being said, here's the tricky part. It's the chicken and egg thing. When you have the mental issues going on, it manifests itself in quarantine-like behavior. So the same thing can happen, but the other way around, okay? You can be mentally very healthy and feel good, but then when you start to behave like what a depressed person would, and you're not, and I'm not saying you're being depressed. We have to stay inside. We have to. So even if you're mentally very healthy and we have to listen to fucking sirens, you know what I mean? I feel like I'm living in a, in a movie. How about a simulation maybe, huh? Wink. I'm so right about this being all in some computer program in space. If space is even real. When you, like, again, you're mentally healthy, you're great, you have a job, you're like, oh, this is good, we're going to do it, 2 weeks are going to go by pretty easy, and it sounds great. Guess what? It's fucking gnarly. And maybe you're fine, and maybe you're like, no, I'm just having salads and doing push-ups, and I feel good. I like being locked into one location and being terrified every time I leave my house that if someone breathes on me or if I breathe, I'm inhaling a possibly deadly virus. That, I feel fine. I feel comfortable with that. Okay. So in that case, one, good for you. Two, you might be a full-blown psychopath because that means you have no feelings or emotions. So that's another thing you might want to get checked out. And also keep yourself quarantined because psychopaths are statistically going to murder a bunch of people and sociopaths too. But I think psychopaths are the people that are born that way. And that's the Lady Gaga song, right? That's about psychopaths. Psychopaths are born without any type of emotion. Sociopaths are the ones that that became that way due to some kind of trauma, okay? So just so we know the difference, you can tell what I watch in my free time, a lot of true crime. And you can also tell what I watch true crime. And then I personally, I like to paint my fingernails and then I take lots of online tests to find out if I'm a psychopath or a sociopath. Like, which one am I? Those are a lot of people like to find out what Ninja Turtle are you? What Disney character are you? I'm like, which serial killer are you most like? So those are the kind of fun things that I like to do with my free time. And that's before the quarantine, baby. So I'm like, I am built for this shit. So let me help you through this. Let me be your beacon, to living life like a recluse. If this is not bothering you, you probably have some other fucking crazy mental thing that we don't even want to get into, and you should not be in society anyway. Let's go back to the majority of people. You're mentally healthy. You're in your house. You're like, this is going to be great. We just can hang out and eat cookies and nachos, and we can make nachos with cookies, and it's going to be great. We're going to put cheese on Chips Ahoy, and it'll be fun because we have to stay inside for 3 days. Like a fun sleepover. That looks like this might be lasting a little bit longer than that. It looks like it might be a few weeks, maybe a couple months. So just to mentally prepare everyone for this, because you have now had to possibly change your life and your behavior. So the behavior and the lifestyle mimics that of someone who is depressed and or like truly, I'm not even using hyperbole here. I'm not being hyperbolic. See, I know the difference. someone who is also like schizophrenic, like a paranoid schizophrenic person, that can work the other way, where the behavior then seeps into your brain and starts to change your brain patterns. And so then that becomes the way that you feel and think. It's like the reason that I started this fucking show. So this is, so the self-help techniques and cognitive behavioral therapy and all that stuff, it does work. I truly believe, at least for me it works, and I think for most people it does work. If you change your, in the same way that if you're like, well, I'm just a negative person, or I'm just always shitty, or like I've just always been overweight, or I'm just negative, that's just how I am, or well, I'm just lonely, or I just can't make a relationship work. You believe something in your head, and so you behave and accordingly. You behave in a manner that matches what you think and how you view the world, okay? The cognitive behavioral therapy stuff and this whole like idea of changing your attitude in your mind, a lot of that starts with you change your behaviors. And once you change your behaviors, you then your thought patterns change and they follow suit, okay? It works both ways. You change your thoughts from there and then also your behaviors, and you do those things. Change your habits, like it can work both ways, okay? Now that's great if we're talking about self-help and you have the freedom to move about the world and go out there and go to the gym and do things like breathe in an enclosed space with more than two people. You know, when we can do those activities again, then you can go back to this normal sense of like, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, I just break the negative habit cycle and I'll change my thought pattern. And that's, we are now in a situation where the opposite could be happening, where you're mentally very healthy, and now because your behaviors have been squashed into those of a depressed, possibly schizophrenic person, it can start to affect your brain negatively. So how do we combat that? It's good to remember why you're in your homes, because there is a globe, like, be logical about it, right? You're not in your house being crazy just for no reason. It's for a purpose. We're trying to get this thing under control, this virus under control, and they are most likely going to find some kind of a vaccine for it, at which point it will be administered and things are going to be okay. For the time being, however, until they figure that out, you got to be inside as much as you possibly can. You got to wash your hands and limit contact. And if you're like me and you are a single person, that means you are not having physical contact with people, which can be difficult. But again, so like remind yourself why you're doing it. So that's the big thing. The other thing is have a schedule. Wake up once you get your little mini break out of the way. Have a plan. If you are able to work from home, which a lot of people are, those people, you're pretty lucky because you still are waking up and you've got to be on a call or responding to emails. You've got to be doing things at a certain time. So stay on that time schedule. And even if you do have a time schedule, here's something else. And I know, again, it seems really fun. I can work in my pajamas. Can you though? I got to tell you, that's the number one thing that I started to do when I was able to work from home. And I would get up and I was like, oh, this is great. I can work from home. It's fun to shuffle around socks. Not mentally healthy. I got to tell you, when I was in the psych ward, one of the first things they do is you're allowed to wear your shoes because they take away like the drawstrings out of your sweatshirts. And when you get to the psych ward, you have to just wear loose clothing. And I mean, I wore boots. Now they do let you keep your shoes unless you point out the different ways in which your shoes can be used to kill yourself, which I did because I thought, well, I was trying to be funny and also point out, you know, how ironic they were taking the string out of my hoodie, but not the giant laces out of my Doc Martens. At which point they were like, huh, thank you for mentioning that. So my ass had to shuffle around a hospital for 2.5 weeks in socks and or slippers or a combination of the two. So, and I know, it's fun. Ooh, we're wearing our sleep socks. We can do the Tom Cruise where we slide across the floor. That's fun. This is like fun. This is really nice. Cut that shit out after 3 days. Get up, put on a pair of fucking shoes. Even if you put on flip-flops, I don't care. Put on something with a hard sole, something with a grip, okay? Get a grip on your shoes. Get a grip on your life. That's the rule. Put on some pants. and put on, again, it's nice to wear loose clothes. I'm right now, I have got on my boots. You want to listen? That's not a sound effect. Those are my boots. I'm wearing boots. I'm wearing jeans, button jeans, and a t-shirt. I'm dressed. I could go outside right now. I put some makeup on. Not a lot, because I'm not trying to, it's, you know, I wear expensive makeup. So just enough, you know, so that I only need 7 filters when I post something on Instagram. But like, that helps. Put on clothes as if you are doing things. Brush your hair. Brush your fucking teeth. So even if you're on a work schedule, do the things you would do as if you were leaving the house. Okay? That is super important. Showering. This is another thing. Take a shower. It sounds dumb. But, and not to get all Jordan Peterson on your ass. I promise you this is not going to slide into, like, you know, look, make your bed, take a shower, put on shoes, except for women who should be barefoot and pregnant and in the goddamn kitchen. And I know that's not Jordan Peterson's accent because I can't get my voice in that high of a register. That's right. I'm calling Jordan Peterson out and saying he has a voice like a girl. Compared to me, everyone has a voice like a girl. You know what I mean? I do. I sound like I've just been in a penny slot casino for decades. Not even playing, just gargling cigarette butts. And that's something I may have said on this podcast before, and I don't care because it's fucking funny. And I apologize, and I'm going to start taking notes so that I don't repeat myself, because I don't know how much longer I'm going to have to just be recording in an apartment alone. But truly, make your bed, brush your teeth, wash your face, brush your fucking hair. This is another thing, one of the number one signs of psychosis. Again, this is the same shit. When people are having a psychotic break or you're depressed, one of the number one signs of psychosis or mental instability is that people stop showering and they stop any personal grooming habits. So this is another one of those things where, again, and I did this shit yesterday, and I got, and when this morning I was like, okay, Wendy, that was your one free day. You knocked that shit off. I got home and I put on, I was in like a cozy, like a t-shirt that I wore during the day, got home. And I put on my stretch pants and a sweater over the shirt I'd worn all day. And I got in, and I, like, you know, fucked around, did some writing, and I got in bed because all my, you know, when your shirt's still warm from the day. And I was like, I'm just going to stay in my own warmth. And then I woke up and I took a funny picture and put it, well, I don't know if it's funny, but it was cute. I had on my little cat mom sleep socks and my boots. And I was like, this is good for content for Instagram. This is fun to show, like, ooh, I'm dressed for the apocalypse. What a fun lady. What a fun cat mom. And then I wore that same outfit the rest of the day. I didn't go into, like, public spaces and, like, breathe and cough on people. I walked. Because I'm trying to not go to the gym, I took a long walk through the very desolate streets of New York City and through Central Park. Not very many people at all. I did not touch or lick any poles or rails, so good job, Wendy. When I came home, I had not broken a sweat. And I got home, and I just was like, I feel kind of sad. I feel lonely. I did. I just felt really lonely, and I thought, like, what can I do? And I was going to make a video and try to go live in a chat room with some people. And I was like, this is dumb. What's the point? I'm tired. And I thought, okay, let yourself just go to sleep. And so I went to sleep in the same clothes. And I did not take a shower because I'm like, what's the point? I'm not fucking. Which is, first of all, not the only reason to take a shower. But I'm like a gross, sad person. And I was sad. I was like, can't make out with anyone. There's no one to have sex with. What's even the point? And so I got in bed and I went to sleep. And when I woke up this morning, my first order of business, I made coffee, and my first order of business was get in the shower, bitch. Get in the shower. Again, it's a sign of psychosis. It also can be like a fun little thing. It's like we're camping. We just have to wear the same thing every day. Knock that shit off. You get a 3-day max limit. You get a 72-hour limit, which is, I don't think it's a coincidence that that's also a minimum hold when you are put in the psych ward involuntarily. 72-hour minimum hold in the psych ward. And oh my God, look at, I'm still doing the same shit in the studio. It's chimes, baby. You know what that means? Creepy chimes equals question time. And I did plan this out is we got a question that, and this was last week, so thank you guys for sending in your questions. The question I'm going to read today fits perfectly with what the fuck is going on in the world today, okay? So let's read this question. First of all, it starts with a compliment, and I'm not going to read people's names, so if you write in, you will remain anonymous. She said, first of all, I love, 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 that's three loves, you and Mara and your podcast. So raw and genuinely funny. Oh my God. Look, I'm going to plug, go listen to Mara America on Happily Never After. Just, and muscle spasms. That's another one. Fucking, you should be listening to that and watching those videos because we need help exercising. Okay. Okay. I definitely plan on seeing your comedy live one day. Oh, how appropriate. I think did she cause this? She wanted this question answered so badly that now we're all going to be asking ourselves the same question. So buckle up. Okay. She said, first of all, I have a question. I've been getting anxious about it for a while. I also don't think it's a real problem. And so I start to feel guilty that I'm even complaining about this. Here's the question. Like most people, I hate my corporate job. It's a daily soul-sucking experience. The people here are passive-aggressive, and I have outstayed my time. It's been almost 6 years, and for the past three, I really haven't done anything to build my career, and I don't give a fuck, and it feels like a waste of time, except I am making money to live. I've gotten in trouble about my lax attitude a few times, but despite asking for more work, I don't have much to do, so I literally fuck around most of the days. Besides not actually having the work part, I can work from home, aka do absolutely nothing and also sleep in. And I have an unlimited supply of napkins, utensils, cleaning supplies, fruit, whatever. It's just easy and there's no stress. Okay, so they're describing a job that a lot of people, this reminded me of when I temped at Calvin Klein. It was like this. And I'm naming names because everything's going to burn to the ground. But you go in and there's really like nothing to do. And they're just endless supplies of food, coffee, whatever you want. And they're always having like, oh, there's some free food in the break of sandwiches. There's always some shit. And especially in a fashion house because they're all models. So there was always a lot of leftover food. But yeah, it is a weird thing because it's like, oh, this is great. It's easy. But it's boring and it sucks, okay? Here's this. So she said, there's very little stress, and then in parentheses, just the self-induced stress built up in my head. Again, anxiety and stress. What was I saying earlier? You're not expending energy, okay? So she's going into this job, and I'm not saying that she's not exercising, but even your mind, you have to, that's why like reading, writing, doing things, you need to be challenging yourself and expending energy in some way. Otherwise, it literally just builds up inside of you. And this is anxiety and stress. Sanxiety. I'm just making up words. Look, we're going to have to build a whole new society in a few months. And so we're going to need a new vocabulary. What do we have? Glubberment? Sanxiety. I hope someone's taking notes because I for sure am not. Okay. So she said, I sneak out and run errands all the time and I leave early. I try to tell myself it's just a paycheck and I have all this freedom other people would die for, but I am ultimately not happy. I haven't been able to find a suitable job and the other option is to get paid less elsewhere and have no freedom or seniority. What would you do in this situation? Should I just suck it up? Thanks. Well, I mean, fucking appropriate question because I think now a lot of people are in the same situation, but now there's a flip. Okay, you know who you are, so please write to me and let me know what's changed. Well, my answer was going to be when you have some free time or even while you're fucking around at work, you do have the luxury to think like, what else? If you could do anything else in the world, like when you're a kid, you know, we're like, what would you be when you're up? What do you like to do for fun? That's usually as an adult, that's the way you look at it. Like, what do you like to do for fun? What's something that gets you excited? And fucking and drinking don't count, even though those are fun and those get us excited. That's not what I'm talking about. So like, what's something that you would, if you could do anything in the world and like she talked about, it's a girl. And she gendered herself. So you know, like, and so, you know, like, what are things if you have, she said she looked for other jobs. So if you're in this situation and you've looked at other jobs, like, oh, this might be fun, that might be fun. And you're like, ah, fuck, but I wouldn't make enough money doing that. Okay. What are those things? And then you can still work your job that you're not super stoked on, but that pays the bills. And then in your free time, do this other side project as just a fun thing to do, okay? And work towards that. And then slowly, and I did this with comedy, when I started, I had office, I had jobs that I did not like. Even Whole Foods is great, but I had, for the most time, I've been doing comedy for 10 and a half years, up until a year and a half ago. So for 9 years, I did comedy at night, and then I had a full-time day job Monday through Friday, and every so often would also pick up a side gig where I was working, you know, 3 days a week, doing just other like temp jobs or working at a farmer's market. So I was almost for 9 years straight working between 40 and 60 hours a week at jobs that I did not particularly care for, but that paid the bills. And then going out and going to open mics at night and writing jokes during the day. And the one thing that it will do, and this is the benefit to having some structure in a job, is when you have a structure of like things that you want to do, the little bit of free time that you have to dedicate to your passion or the fun thing, I find that you work harder at it. I know that I noticed that for me big time. When I didn't have to go to a day job and I was able to do comedy for the most part full time and cover everything, I didn't work as hard on comedy because it wasn't as, the time that I had to dedicate to my passion and thing that I wanted to do wasn't as precious a commodity. Okay. So there is something to, it's like, for example, the toilet paper. When something is scarce, it then becomes precious. Okay. Toilet paper, we couldn't have given a fuck about toilet paper a few weeks ago. There's more than enough of it. Okay, you can get that wherever. Now, you could probably get truffles for cheaper than you can get toilet paper. So anytime there's a scarcity of something, that's why diamonds, you know, diamonds are like, oh, it's hard to get. Like anytime, or like a Birkin bag, they only make a few of those and they're so hard to get. And so that you can charge a gazillion dollars for them. And those become precious. And even like, so you can look at that as items, but then also time with loved ones, you know, people that live far away. When you only have a little bit of time with someone, or the scarcity of anything makes it more precious. And so people tend to value it more and put more energy and focus into either time that you get to spend with someone. If you don't, like my family, I don't see very often. So when I'm with them, I really cherish that and I treasure that. If there's something that I had to work my ass off for and I spent a lot of money on a rare gem, I don't know. See, that's how poor I am. I can't even think of something where I'm like a rare gem. I don't know. Am I in an Indiana Jones movie? Then that's precious to you and you take care of it because you're like, oh, they're not, this is a one of a kind, or, you know, this cost me a lot of money. But different things have value, and scarcity a lot of times creates value for something. So, but now when you've got all the time in the world to just kind of fuck off and you don't have to go to work and you're like, oh, now I can work on that book. I find when I had a schedule and I was working 60 hours a week, I spent more time working on writing jokes than I did the first 6 months that I didn't have a day job. Because I was like, oh, I'll just do it. I'll do it at 2. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to jerk off, which is, again, I would encourage masturbation. And again, I'd 3 times a day. Masturbation and meals. I masturbate in between meals, I think is good. Not with food. Masturbation is a vitamin, a supplement, a daily supplement that you take in between meals, and then you wash your hands after. And even if you're not leaving the house, just wash your hands. And that's not for SARS or whatever we have, norovirus. What is it? Who knows? That's for general cleanliness. You don't want to get a pube in your teeth. That's a bummer. You know what I mean? But yeah, toilet paper's off the shelf and now we're like, fucking shit, now it's the most precious thing in the world. If you can find something else that you like doing that you're really passionate about, you focus a lot of energy on that because you don't have a lot of extra time to spend on that thing. And then what you can do, and this goes to your question, maybe down the road, as you're able to, that passion project or whatever you're doing for fun, if you really love doing it, and the more you work on it, you can slowly get better at it or build up a clientele, whatever the thing is, and then you slowly make a shift over a period of time to where you're putting more energy into the passion and getting more energy back from that. And that could be, I mean, ideally it's in the form of money, right? So whether you're crafting or you're a writer or you want to get into just starting your own business of a volunteer, whatever, or a baker, whatever you want to do, like you can then slowly shift your energy to where you can ideally find out if it's possible or it's viable. But then that would be a way for you over a period of time to make a living off of your passion and then spend less time at this soulless job where you're doing it just for a paycheck. But it's a matter of like energy shifting, and something that I did that was helpful when I started, when I found stand-up comedy, even when I was, I was actively losing money to do stand-up, and this is changing your mentality. I referred to open mics as work and my day job as my day job. Even when I was making, I'd be, oh, I got to work tonight. And I wouldn't say that to other people, but I said it to myself in my head. And so I always had the focus on like, my job, I believe, is going to be in doing this other thing. And my day job is just that. It's a day job. And if you think of it that way, maybe that will help the day job be a little bit less soul sucking. So that's what I would do. I wouldn't throw everything, especially now, girlfriend. You hang out of that job now, especially now. So I know everything's changed and you're like, thank fuck I have this job that I can essentially just fuck off at home and make a lot of money. So keep that, keep yourself on a schedule. And then also now that you are probably forced to work from home, you can make your schedule such that you dedicate as much, if not more energy to the new project or projects, things that you want to pursue as a job. That was probably really rambling. Again, I don't have anyone here except myself and my tea and my little wind chime timer and a plate of broccoli with blue cheese on it. You know, and I'm going to cut this short because we're going to do one on nutrition because we got to talk about binge eating, guys. It's crazy. It's hard. It's difficult. So here, this is for your first week in quarantine, or as you're preparing to go in quarantine in your different cities. Hopefully this was helpful. This is like a good, just be aware your first week, give yourself 72 hours, just like they would in the psych ward, and just fucking let loose, baby. Sleep in, drink, unless you got a problem. Have snacks, put cheese on your cookies, and just slide around your place in socks. Do it up. 3 days max. And then set some alarms and get in the fucking shower and get your shit, make a schedule for yourself. Okay. And I gotta do that for myself because I can feel it. So we're going to do this together as a team. Okay. Cause I've got a little bit of practice in doing this. And, so don't be afraid. Don't be scared. It's going to be fine. I love you. Please stop freaking out. It's going to be okay. All right. So enjoy your 72 hours, mandatory holding. And then we're going to get our shit together and we're going to get through this and it's going to be fine. And we're going to come out on the other end, hopefully with stronger immune systems or weaker. That's the other thing. I wonder if we're hiding and coronavirus is out there just getting stronger. I don't know, guys. I'm joking. It's going to be fine. I do need to go eat something and it's going to be a vegetable. So get a little of that. I do want to say before I go, thank you guys so much for listening. I do not have a guest. So my guest was my other personality. My guest was my mania because I've been not drinking and it sucks. And by now I've been not drinking. It's been what, 48 hours? Who knows? So listen, I thank you guys so much for listening. I really appreciate it, especially right now. Follow me on Instagram. It's at WendyBird82. That's Wendy with an I, WendyBird82. Follow the show at ilovelyou.pleasestop. Please subscribe, share it with a friend, rate and review, please. 5 stars and nice reviews. Just because we're doing it from our apartment, just because we're quarantined in our homes, apartments, like in my mind, I have to say apartment because I don't want to say home because I'll be sad. I'm like, I assume everyone else is also in a studio apartment, right? So please do that. So thank you. Let's not be mean just because we're trapped inside. So say nice things. And also, follow, we're a partner. Look, I'm recording from an apartment, but guess what? I'm still a partner. I'm still part of a network, baby. And I got to remember that. I got to remember. And you got to remember that you're also part of a network, the network of humanity. Okay. And the network I'm part of is called the Be Frank Network. And we are in partnership with Sound Lounge. So I'd like to thank them. And, you know, we're all going to be back in business. We're all going to be back together. God, do I miss those free snacks. God, do I miss those bagels. I'm going to be the only person to lose weight in quarantine because I'm missing my snack shack. So follow me on, find me on YouTube. My link is, it's my full name, Wendy Rebecca Starling. I'm going to be doing some stuff on there and, the whereby right now, again, my whereby meeting name is Wendy Starling. We're going to start some group chats. Let's keep each other going. And send me your questions, please. That's it. I gotta go. Hopefully this wasn't too rambling. You know what? You haven't got shit to do. Neither do I, which is why I don't want to stop talking to you guys, but I have to because you know what I am going to do? Here's a tip. My friends and I were being sad. We wish we could dress up and go out to a fancy dinner. You know, I'm about to do with two of my girlfriends. We're going to get on whereby. I promise you this is happening. And I'm going to go dress up in fancy dress-up clothes and sit here and eat broccoli and blue cheese and look at my girlfriends while they're dressed up in fancy clothes at their homes. Okay? It's going to be fine. It's the singularity. Get used to it. All right. Love you guys. The challenge for this week. What's the challenge? I fucking don't know. Take a shower and put on some shoes. That's the challenge. All right. I'll talk to you guys next week. Probably before then on social media. All right. Take care. I love you. It's going to be fine. Wash your hands. Bye.